Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 390, the stanzas 2 and 3. To thee I stretch my hands, let me not plead in vain. I wait as weary lands wait for refreshing rain. And what follows, Psalter 390, the stanzas 2 and 3. the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Acts 2, the verses 1 through 21. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Acts 2, the first 21 verses. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer where the curatorium has been given freedom in this past week to accept Mr. Willard DeWild of Nobleford to begin studies in our theological school. And in Rostern, Mr. and Mrs. Gerald and Geraldine van der Breinhost, who were blessed with the birth of a baby boy. Mrs. Helen Clark, who hopes to remember her birthday in the day of tomorrow. And Mrs. Johanna Beyer, who hopes to turn 82 on Friday. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when thou wast gathered us and our dear children together on another Lord's Day, and insofar that it was possible to come up to thy house, that we may be given to see one another by renewal in the land of the living, our Lord, may it please thee to grant because it is not found in the natural heart. Where we take so much for granted, we find it all so normal. And where the earth is so full of thy goodness, and so empty of thy praises, but may it please thee by thy Spirit to grant a broken and a humble heart under thy goodness and under thy long-suffering, wherein the week gone by then thou wast spared the whole congregation. Then in the midst of the trials of life, then thou wast granted many a blessing. And when we may have a little impression, oh, those precious blessings have been given unto us, and that is poor sinners, then there shall be a little bewonderment and a desire that thou may be exalted, Lord, to that end. And may it please thee to come down with thy power, with thy Spirit, and with thy blood. And then thou knowest how it has been in the past week. Thou knowest how we have risen in this morning. And may there have been souls that even in a very little way may have resembled, may it have been bound upon the heart. That is the work of the Spirit virtue, the mediatorial work of thy dear Son, abound upon the heart as it was, and that waiting church in the upper room, where they were with one accord, in prayer and in supplication, so vehemently exercised with the coming of thy kingdom, and the glory of thy great and worthy name, as so exercised with the promise which thou wast given unto them concerning the rich outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Then we read of still awaiting church on the 10th day, Lord, and may there have come up such souls in this morning hour with a beggar's prayer, beseeching thee that thou may grant those special tokens, those special blessings, but above all that special instruction concerning the way of salvation. Then we have heard of rich things out of thy holy word, that thy time was fully come. And then it is written in thy word that thy thoughts are different than our thoughts, our ways than thy ways. But the time was fully come, Lord. And may it be so in this day amongst us and our dear children. The time fully come for waiting souls. Concerning the mysteries of salvation, and as it was with that church, that they were filled with the Holy Spirit, with further light, with freedom, and with liberty to receive a knowledge of the third person as the sealer of their redemption. But, Lord, the time must also fully come for 3,000 on that day that lie under the seal of election, and each of those 3,000 was present at the feast. Then we humbly ask thee that the time may have come in this morning hour for our boys and for our girls, for our young people, for the middle-aged, and for the elderly ones, that in this morning hour by thy Spirit, that they may hear things which they have never heard before. Undoubtedly have heard it with their ears, but now when it may enter into the heart And when all things become new, all things become real, that thou art a God that dwelleth in the heavens, so majestic and so glorious, and to hear what sinners we are, traveling to a never-ending eternity, but a step between us and death. Ah, Lord, may it please thee that there may be souls that may become as Jerusalem, so unworthy and so guilty, where they have cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Lord, the times are evil and dark, but thou art still gathering a church, and it pleases thee oftentimes to work in dark times that it may become manifest that it is all free and sovereign grace, that it is all thy work, that it all comes from above. Oh, hast thou not promised in thy holy word that thou would pour out thy spirit upon our seed and thy blessing upon our offspring, and they shall grow up as the grass and by the willows, by the water courses, ah, Lord. Thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. Thou hast promised to work from generation to generation. Thou hast promised to work in the hearts of young and old. Ah, Lord, would thy name not be greatly glorified when thou would pour out thy Holy Spirit in a richer measure amongst us and our children. Oh, a time as we read in the Scriptures that there would be boys and girls playing in the streets of Jerusalem, and those old men and women, oh, leaning on the staff, oh, leaning on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation, ah, Lord. Then thou hast yet been mindful of us. In the past week, many meetings were held, and also the curatorium has received the freedom to accept an other student. Lord, we commend him unto thee with his dear wife, with his family, where there shall come great changes in the months to go. Ah, grand tokens of thy favor, because when it is of thee, then much then the devil shall come against it. Wilt thou then be the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire? And we may acknowledge thee that thou hast also helped the other student with the examination. Lord, we commend unto thee our branch. Remember also the elder that hopes to read. Wilt thou stand on his right and on his left? And then thou was granted unto a father and mother for the second time in their married life that they were blessed with a little child, a well-born little son, ah, Lord. Wilt thou grant unto the parents a broken and a humble heart under thy sparing hand where thou was spared life, but where thou wast also given life with his birth. And may the prayers be multiplied, that it may be a little one for thee, a little one for thy glory. We commend unto thee the grandparents, the great-grandparents, with their increased blessing, their increased responsibility. We commend unto thee all the mothers with the unborn, the expecting families. Wilt thou graciously watch over them and gladden in due time with thy divine deeds. Remember the family circles that desire more children. Grant a place at thy footstool. Lord, we commend unto thee all the morning ones unto thee. There are many amongst us. Wilt thou continue to uphold, to strengthen and to comfort, and may all the solemn callings, may they be sanctified. Remember all the elderly ones, all the sick and afflicted ones undergoing treatments, those with many fears and concerns, we commend them all unto thee. Remember the handicapped ones. Remember those that struggle with difficulties and weakness of the mind. Ah, Lord, when it becomes so dark, may they be given to simply bow their knees and tell thee everything, to open thy holy word, and to simply ask for courage from day to day. Wilt thou remember their loved ones? Lord, we now humbly beg of thee that thou may grant thy gracious help. O, grant thy spirit to that end, and may thy word go forth with power divine. Do as on the day of Pentecost, that it may enter into many hearts, the hearts of young and old, Lord, thou knowest. In our deep fallen Adam, then we have closed our hearts unto thee, and for the precious things of the Lord. But now it is the work of the Spirit, his loving work, and his irresistible work. And when thou commandest, then it shall take place. Ah, Lord, do it then in this morning, and that is so indispensable, and not only for the first time, but in the life of thy people, each time by renewal. Ah, Lord, may it be in the life of thy children, as that early church, that church in that upper room, that they were given to rejoice and praise thee for what they have received, but also with prayer and supplication, because thou hast wrought a missing in their hearts and in their life, and then thou hast answered their request. Ah, Lord, thou can never do it because of our prayers, because they are polluted with sin. It is so necessary, each time by renewal as with the disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. But, Lord, hast thou not said in thy word, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Wilt thou so grant a rich blessing, a rich ingathering, over the length and the breadth of the earth, also on mission fields? We ask it in the pardoning of all of our great and manifold sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 209, the stanzas 4 through 8. With sleepless eyes and speechless grief, I searched the past to find relief. The former years when days were bright and songs of gladness cheered my night. And what follows? The extra collection today is for the mission. Psalter 209, the stanzas 4 through 8.
Thank you.
in this morning hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Acts 2, the verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. Our text words speak of the Lord's rich outpouring of the Holy Spirit, with three thoughts. In the first place, the Lord's promised time. Secondly, the Lord's meaningful signs. And in the third place, the Lord's gracious filling. The Lord's rich outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Lord's promised time. The Lord's meaningful signs. And the Lord's gracious filling. Beloved congregation, the Lord has granted by renewal that the church in a special way may commemorate the rich outpouring of His Holy Spirit upon the gathered church. And where the Lord has wrought so wonderfully in the hearts of His people, in the hearts of the apostles, but also where 3,000 were converted upon the sermons of the apostle. But it did not begin with the day of Pentecost, because there were special exercises for that special day. And those exercises, they were given by the Spirit of Christ to pray for a richer outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Oh, we read it in our text that they were with one accord in one place. It was a special day, the day of Pentecost. 50 days after the day of Passover, 50 days after the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt with an outstretched arm, it was the time when they have come to Mount Sinai and where the law was given. It was the time of wheat harvest, and then it was required for the children of Israel, all the males over 12 years, but of course, for many, also among the nation of the Jews. And then it was what he read in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. And now they were required of the new harvest. The first two loaves, the first fruits were for the Lord, accompanied with burnt and sin offerings. And then also on those feast days, then the Lord has wrought wonderfully Because boys and girls, you can understand it. When the multitudes went up to Jerusalem, when many husbands had to leave their dear wife and little children behind, and certainly cannot be different, that the enemy nations have noticed it, that the fathers, the young men, that they went up to Jerusalem, then it would be so simple for the enemy to enter the land that they would plunder the land and even take many captives. But then we read something very remarkable in Exodus 34, verse 24, that during those feasts, that the Lord would take the desire out of the heart of the enemy to enter that land. Then the Lord has promised them safety. And congregation, when we consider our days, when there is such a falling away, all so much theft and robbery, has hitherto not the Lord also wonderfully watched over us on the Sabbath day? Not to misinterpret, boys and girls, that there shall never be a theft on the Sabbath day, but hitherto has the Lord not wonderfully cared for us. And now we read that the day of Pentecost was fully come, and when it is the Lord's time, then there is none upon the earth that can hinder. Oh, it was the time that was decreed from that never-ending eternity, because they read in Acts 15, verse 18, no one known unto God are all his works from eternity. Oh, it was the time that the Lord has decreed, the time of the special favor of the Lord upon his church, where the Lord has begun, but also that so many would be wrought upon. Oh, it was a promised time Christ has spoken thereof in John 14 through 16, but also in Acts 1, that not many days hence, that the Spirit would be poured out, and to that end they were called upon to remain in Jerusalem, to wait for the outpouring of the Spirit. Oh, it was a prayed for time. Oh, young and old, may I ask you, has there now been, I say it carefully, a little resemblance of that church in that upper room, pleading the Lord's promise, waiting for the fulfillment? People of God, has it been a little impressed, a little bound upon the heart, a little freedom at the throne of grace? Ah, to beg that great God that he would do wonderful things amongst us and our children. Oh, to experience the blessed things of the Lord as he has done on the day of Pentecost. Oh, a greater blessing. Ah, the church learns that it all comes from above. Ah, that church in that upper room, they have also experienced John 15, verse 5, without me, ye can do nothing. And Paul, as written to the Romans in chapter 8, verse 26, for we know not how we ought to pray, but the Spirit maketh intercession within us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and that floweth forth from verse 34, from Christ at the right hand of the Father, who maketh intercession for his church. Oh, it is the common way, and those are blessed times, when the Lord, by his Spirit, that he sets his church a praying and a begging, that the Spirit binds the matter upon the heart, never dying souls traveling to eternity, begging the Lord that he may do it for his honor and for his glory, a church in one accord, begging for the outpouring of the Spirit. Is the general way that the Lord holds with his church. When he has decreed to give them a special blessing, that he sets them a praying and a begging. Oh, a greater blessing when it may be, as with Father Jacob in Genesis 32, Lord, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Oh, have there been a few beggars? And if you ask those beggars, then they shall have to confess that the prayers can be so feeble, and yet a desire, a longing, and a prayer. And now that church in that upper room, we have heard it on Ascension Day, that they returned from Jerusalem with great rejoicing, praising and thanking the Lord for what the Lord has given. And yet in the life of that church, there was still a need and a missing. Oh, Church of God, not to despise the day of small things. No, it is not the foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ and him crucified. But not to despise the day of small things. It is a blessing when the Lord grants by his Spirit that they may receive light, they may be given to reflect and see what they have received by the Lord's free and sovereign grace, and yet also to be given to see what they miss. And when that missing now becomes greater than their possession, and the Lord sets them a praying, no, the Lord shall never do it because of our prayers. Ah, the church, they learn that their prayers, that they are not as they ought to be. The disciples have prayed in Luke 11, verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. But the Lord has promised in his word that upon prayers that the Lord shall do wonders. And now that church in that upper room flowed forth from the communion with their head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now that church was also a waiting church. And they were given to pray concerning a personal promise. They have received it personally. They have heard it from his own mouth, from the mouth of Jesus Christ. Thus a personal promise which they may embrace by faith. And we read in Hebrews 11 verse 1 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But now between the giving of that promise and between the day of Pentecost, then we read of 10 days. Is there a waiting people in our midst? And then you can tell me what you are waiting for. Oh, if we ask that church, what are you waiting and praying for? Then they could tell us what they have received, what they have heard, that they have heard it out of their own mouth, and I know can go so upside down. And now those 10 days, but all we read that the day of Pentecost was fully come. May it be an encouragement for waiting souls. Oh, the psalmist in Psalm 27, the verses 13 and 14, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait upon the Lord, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. Oh, what precious examples we have in the Word concerning a waiting church. And for the true child of God, they are not the worst times. because they shall learn many a lesson in that time of waiting, but how difficult it becomes, can even seem, that the providence of the Lord is so contrary to fulfilling of what the Lord has spoken, how upside down it can go. And the devil, he loves to pester his child, but 10 days. And child of God, perhaps it is already the 9th. And in that time of waiting, oh, what a blessed portion. When the Lord grants unto his true child simply to wait and to trust the Lord's time and the Lord's way. But when that waiting continues, we have sung it together out of Psalter 209 of a waiting church, and where it seems that the Lord has not come over. And then the church, undoubtedly, that church in that upper room, then they have undoubtedly thought, because Christ was risen on the Lord's day, the next Lord's day has appeared unto the church with Thomas also present, and Christ is said not many days hence, that is not so many, boys and girls, then undoubtedly, it is not all written in the Bible, but people in those days were not different than us, that they have thought not many days, likely 3 days, that the first Lord's Day, that the promise would be fulfilled with the rich outpouring of his Holy Spirit. That undoubtedly that they have come up to God's house with special expectation. Have there also come up a few souls with expectation in this morning hour? That shall be when there have been exercises before we came up to God's house during the week. In this morning hour, when the Lord even, because we can be so unfeeling, so unbelieving, that already a blessing when on the Sabbath day morning, perhaps when we hear the birds sing, an impression of the Lord's wonderful creation, an impression of our guilt, a privilege, when there even may be, as I read in Job 23, verse 16, "For God maketh my heart soft," more so when the Lord grants sweet meditations upon his word, when he grants a little light, more so when the Lord sends us a begging, gifts that we may be a begging and a sighing soul. And then undoubtedly on the third day, then there was much expectation for the church. And so they have gathered together, and on that third day, it has not taken place. Does not mean that the Spirit was not present, because they continued. That is also the work of the Spirit, because the soul can become so discouraged, so upside down, that it seems to come all to an end, afraid of deceit. But then each time it is the work of the Spirit. Oh, has Christ not said in the Song of Solomon 2 verse 14, O my dove that art in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me hear thy voice and see thy countenance, for thy countenance is comely and thy voice is sweet. Have there been a few doves in this morning that have mourned and asked the Lord for a special blessing on this special day for us as a people personally? But we read in Isaiah 55, the verses 8 and 9, that the Lord's thoughts are not our thoughts. And then for such a waiting soul, then how discouraged they can go home from church. Are there souls that know what it is? What those lively desires, a little expectation, a broken and a humble heart, a sense of our unworthiness, and that the Lord can only do it for Christ's sake. And then we come to God's house in the morning, and then we go home. And yet nothing has taken place, no answer yet has found relief. Shall I then as promised faithless find? And then how happy they are that there is a second service. And then in the evening, by renewal, and then when in the evening hour, no answer yet found relief, then how discouraged they can go home. There are souls that know what it is to go to a secret place and to pour out their heart and say, Lord, dost thou then not know of me? Hast thou not given those exercises? But nevertheless, a waiting church, oh, they continued. I read in Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait upon the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. As the prophet Habakkuk not declared in chapter 2, verse 3, though it tarry, wait for it, for at the end it shall speak and not lie. And though it tarry, it shall surely come, it shall not tarry. Still awaiting church on the 10th day. And then it was the Lord's time to pour out his spirit. Let us first sing. Psalter 131, the four stanzas. The Lord is great with worthy praise. Proclaim his power, his name confess. Within the city of our God, upon his mount of holiness, and what follows, Psalter 131, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
the Lord's rich outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the Lord's promised time, and now secondly, the Lord's meaningful signs. And then the Lord is given to special signs. And oftentimes the Lord uses natural examples and symbols to illustrate divine truths. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven. James is written in James 1 verse 17 that every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness and nor shadow of a turning. And then the Spirit, as we read in John 14 verse 26 and in John 15 verse 26, and then he was sent forth from the Father and from the Son. And then suddenly, we must read it correctly, there came a great sound from heaven. And oh, boys and girls, there was not a great wind. Everything was still. But we read clearly that it was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Then we can think of when a hurricane comes, or especially a tornado. Then many have told us that they heard as it was as a sound of a great rain, a roaring noise, and then suddenly the tornado has come. Thus it was a sound as of a rushing wind that the inhabitants of Jerusalem, those great numbers, we have heard it from all nations, and there was a great number that were lying under the seal of election. And the Lord has granted that they on this special day, that they would be under the means of grace. And old Father has said that it is a very evil sign when a person no longer faithfully places himself under the means of grace, because those are the means that the Spirit has appointed to gather and to instruct this church. And now concerning that sign, then it has a special meaning in the Bible. Then in the Old Testament, the Hebrew word ruah, that has the meaning of breath, of wind and spirit. And it is the same in the New Testament with the Greek word pneuma. And now when we consider the work of the wind, then it is an emblem of the work of the Holy Spirit. Then in the first place, then the wind that is sent by the Lord, because they read in Psalm 135 verse 7, he bringeth the wind out of his treasuries, then it is according to his free and sovereign decree. When the Lord sends the Spirit into the church and into the hearts of sinners. In the second place, then the wind is invisible. Then, boys and girls, you cannot see the wind. You see the effect, of course. When you look at the tree, when there is a great wind, then you see that tree going back and forth, maybe sometime thinking that the tree is going to blow over, but we cannot see the wind. And so is the work of the Spirit in the heart of the sinner. Christ has spoken to Nicodemus in John 3 verse 8, concerning that work, that it is compared to the work of the Lord in the heart of the sinner. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou cannot tell whether it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. But not to make the mistake to think that there can be an unconscious regeneration. To perhaps think that perhaps the Lord has worked in my heart and we do not know it. No congregation, when that great Spirit, when he works in the heart of a sinner, then it shall be experienced the same thing with the tree. You can see it, boys and girls, when there is a wind, then those leaves in that tree shall not be still, but it shall be seen. And so it is also with the work of the Spirit that has become evident on the day of Pentecost, when those 3,000 were pricked in their hearts. Then in the third place, then the wind can come so suddenly. Sometimes we see it, boys and girls. Can even be maybe at night that you have woken up and all of a sudden that you heard a very strong wind. Although as a general rule, then when we are children, then we sleep much sounder than when we become old. Of course, I hope that there are boys and girls that also in the night watches, that there are times that you may be awake and think about the Lord, about eternity, about your soul, and that you may be given to beg the Lord, Lord, wilt thou not convert me as thy people, that I may be blessed, that I may be happy, and that I may be pardoned of all my sins. And then the wind is strong and mighty. Many times we hear it, especially, of course, in Alberta, the wind can also be very strong. And sometimes trees are uprooted, but much more in those countries where there are tornadoes and hurricanes, then it seems that hardly nothing can withstand the wind. Ah, that is the emblem of the work of the Holy Spirit. And that is the hope for sinners, oh, young and old. Are there souls in my midst that sometime are so troubled about your heart that with everything that has taken place in your life, the Lord's mercies, special callings, accidents, sickness, death, serious sermons, and Lord, it seems that I can continue living on in this world, in the busyness of life, and that it seems under all those things that my heart is even becoming harder. So when I think, Lord, when I was a child, Reverend McChain has stated in a certain sermon that he believed in his time of people that were brought up under the proclamation of law and gospel, that they would all have those times that they received profound impressions. Hope it is still so in our time. And then we need to ask the Lord that those impressions may not leave us, but that the Lord by His Spirit may work savingly for the saving of our souls. There is none that can resist the loving work of the Spirit, that mighty work of the Spirit. Do I not read in Isaiah 43, verse 13, I, the Lord, will work it, and who shall let it? In the fifth place, then the wind blows from different directions, and both are necessary. If you only have the south wind, then the roots do not go so deep, but the north wind is necessary. Could speak of the north wind of uncovering and the south wind of consolation. And then in the sixth place, then wind is very necessary, especially in tropical climates. John Patton has experienced by bitter experience. He lost his dear young wife by death because they have made their encampment in the lowlands where the winds did not blow so much and where many diseases have bred. Thus the wind is necessary to clear the air, and the wind shall also have effect. Thus the people in Jerusalem, coming to the day of Pentecost, they have heard the sound as of a mighty rushing wind, an audible noise, but then the Lord has also given visible signs to those that were present in that upper room, because we read, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. This, boys and girls, we can picture it, some fire that came down from heaven, and it all split into tongues, and it sat upon each of them in that upper room. And when we consider the scriptures, thus the fire was a visible sign, then we could speak of the presence of the Lord. Think of that burning bush upon the mercy seat. It is believed that the pillar of fire that it centered upon the mercy seat of the tabernacle to give light in the most holy place. In the second place, then fire gives heat. We have mentioned the text from Job 23, verse 16, concerning a soft heart. Then in the third place, then fire gives light. We have mentioned the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire, as we read in Exodus 13, verse 21. Then fire purifies, gold is put in the fire, as we read in 1 Peter 1, verse 7. Then fire also speaks of punishment, where fire has come down from Sodom and Gomorrah. And then we read, it sat upon each of them. Our last thought, the Lord's gracious filling. And they were all filled. And that word filled in the Greek, that means to fill to the brim, completely full, boys and girls. And now when we read in our text concerning the church of Christ that was gathered in the upper room, and when we read that they were filled with the Spirit, then we must not understand that they did not have the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit was given unto that people in the moment of regeneration. Then the Spirit makes the indwelling in their heart, and we have heard of the wonderful work of the Spirit recently from our Heidelberg Catechism from Lord's Day number 20. Then further, and then they receive the Spirit, the teaching of the Spirit, each time by renewal. Further, then they receive a further measure of the Spirit on the evening of the resurrection when Christ is breathed on them receiving the Spirit, and where the Spirit has opened their understanding that they understood the Scriptures. But now, on the day of Pentecost, then they received a richer and a fuller measure of the Holy Spirit than in the first place by that Spirit. Then they received a fuller light upon the mediatorial work of the dear Son of God in the second place, to receive a knowledge of the Spirit as the sealer of their redemption. And then in the third place, then they received a special liberty, because we read in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And then upon that filling, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That was a gift which the Spirit has given to the New Testament church for its formation. But that was only for a time. The Pentecostal movement that speaks much of speaking of tongues, but it is very evident and clear that it is all foolishness. It was a special gift. And now, in the time of Pentecost, then it was the Roman Empire, then the Greek culture has permeated all nations, and then there was a common language that most of the people understood. But then, of course, all those nationalities, then they still had their mother tongue, which they could understand more clear, better. And now we have heard out of Acts 2 that in the wonderful providence of the Lord, because many Jews, they were dispersed in different countries, and on the day of Pentecost, then they would travel to Jerusalem. And then in the providence of the Lord, after the day of Pentecost, this wonderful day, then they would return to their people and tell of the wonderful things of the Lord. Those that have been converted, come and I will tell you what the Lord has done unto my soul. And now the apostles were given to speak in those different tongues that many nationalities, that they may hear the truth of God expounded, law and gospel, the wonderful works of the Lord in their own tongue. And that was a great wonder. And now we have stated that is a gift which the Spirit has given to the early Testament church for a time. Thus a gift only given to the early church, and yet that wonder still takes place. Because when the Lord works with a spirit, then such a soul, as it were, oh, it is true in the beginning, they are so timid. So many riddles and so many perplexities. They know it has become different. But nevertheless, shall come a time when they are given to speak with a different tongue. And that is because the Spirit has given that they may hear with different ears. And give a clear example. The thief on the cross in Luke 23. Those two thieves and murderers. One on the right, one on the left. so close to death, to eternity, ready to drop into hell. And they have reviled the Son of God. But then suddenly, by God's free and sovereign grace, all for people that deny election, let them explain how it was possible that both of them have mocked the Savior and then suddenly became different. Dost not thou fear God, seeing we are in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, but this man has done nothing amiss. Oh, then that thief was given to speak with a different tongue. Think of Saul persecuting the followers of Jesus Christ. And then the Lord has felled him, fallen to the ground. Who art thou, Lord? What wilt thou have me to do? Then he was given to speak with a different tongue, because he had heard with different ears. Oh, so many in Jerusalem, shortly before, when Christ was brought before the judgment seat, crucify him, crucify him. Shall I crucify your king? We have no king but Caesar. And then the Spirit granted different ears to hear, and then another tongue to speak. Men and brethren, what shall we do? Has that now taken place in our life? That we start to hear differently. Has that now happened, boys and girls? That you said, Father, Mother, how come the minister preached so different? Because I have heard things that I have never heard before and which I can never forget. Has that happened, young people? You have already heard many sermons, and there can be the danger that we become discouraged. This week, the Lord has granted another student for our theological school. May that be a little encouragement. Ah, for that people that have come up to Pentecost, undoubtedly, they have come up to many a feast. And now it was the Lord's time. A rich outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And they were wrought upon. It has all become different. God has become real. And their sins real. And then also to be given to speak with a different tongue. Oh, Ruth, before the family of Elimelech have come, she was an idol worshiper. But then at the border of Moab and Judah, a different tongue. Ah, to say it reverently, angels rejoicing in heaven. But out of that heart, for Nehemiah, may believe it was not unexpected. Because when the Lord works, then we can become so quiet and so still. But same as with that tree, shall be seen, and in the further leadings, then it is necessary that our tree of self-righteousness must all be uprooted by the powerful work of the Holy Spirit, that we may be placed upon the rock, upon the foundation, spake with other tongues. Then on the day of Pentecost, in beginning, it has been rectified a little for a little while, what has taken place at the Tower of Babel, the confusion of languages. Oh, what a difficulties that can cause. When we go to Bolivia, where most speak Spanish, then you feel so helpless, because we cannot speak, we cannot understand the language. But now on the day of Pentecost, in beginning a little rectification, then they could all hear spoken in their tongue. Oh, at the end, when the end of the world has come, the last elect sinner has been converted, wrought upon. And then in heaven, then there shall be one language, and that shall be the language of Canaan. Do you know what that is, boys and girls? The language of Canaan. That is the language of the experience of the people of God. Oh, what a wonderful day. May we be given to ask that great and mighty God has promised his special blessing in his house. Matthew 18, verse 20. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And to that end, let us close. With the prayer. And that was of the bride. When there may be a people that has received the Spirit, they shall be given to plead fervently for the further exercises, the work of the Spirit, for the disciples. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, receive light, and receive liberty. And then the prayer of the bride. And then, of course, also that solemn text in Ephesians 4, verse 30, not to grieve the Spirit. And in 1 Thessalonians 5, not to quench the Spirit. That's an awful thing. When we grieve, when we despise the Spirit's word. But now the prayer in the Song of Solomon 4, verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow forth out. Let my beloved come into his vineyard, into my garden, and eat the pleasant fruits thereof. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of wonderful things, and thou art still the same. Thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Also, when the Spirit was poured out, it was a dark time for Jerusalem. The Savior was crucified. Many nations in Egyptian darkness. But then it was thy time, Lord. Wilt thou grant such a time unto us and our dear children? May the prayers be multiplied to that end for the conversion of sinners and the further leadings in the life of thy children. May there be prayer to that end in this day. May the need be sorely felt, an opening at thy throne of grace. Lord, grant traveling mercies. Help fathers and mothers with the children to keep the Sabbath day holy. Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 326, the four stanzas. Thy promised mercy send to me, thy great salvation, Lord. So shall I answer those who scoff. My trust is in thy word. The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. The second wedding announcement of Travis Jake Slingelant and Lydia Janae van der Stroot. The wedding service is scheduled for June 13 at 9:30 a.m., not 10:30 a.m., as in the bulletin. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. The first wedding announcement of Gerard Klock and Madeline Jenny Brink. Lawful objections may be brought to the attention of the consistory. Church visitation will be held this coming Tuesday evening at 7:30 p.m. The open house for Reverend Clay's birthday has been changed from Saturday, June 14 to Monday, June 16 from 7 to 9 p.m. The Paul and Learning and Living magazines are at the exit. 326, the four stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.